With the Bible study this past Wednesday, we've begun a series in preparation for election of officers on Saturday, February 14th. And the preaching will be in coordination with that and for that same purpose. And so we come to the qualifications of all officers, which are identical. I'll be reading the 16 verses of 1 Timothy 3. Listen carefully to God's word and choose your new officers accordingly, and pray for your old officers accordingly. Hear God's word. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women likewise must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Let us pray. Father, again, we feel our weakness and unsuitableness, our lack of heart preparation to receive your word, and so we pray that you would make us ready, that you would open our minds to understand the scriptures and to respond to these things with faith and repentance and obedience. We do not have it within ourselves. We cannot make ourselves do these things. It is a work of grace, and therefore we pray, help us to hear and heed your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The point of this passage, or one point, is that your vote is a means to form and follow. It's often said that married people, after many years, start to look like each other. So you want to be careful who you marry, because you're going to look like them after a while. The same thing is also said of people and their dogs. You start to look like your dog after a while. So this applies to your officers. Who serves you as an officer? That's what you will look like in the long run. Your life as a Christian will conform to their example. And therefore, it is necessary that you choose people who are a good example of the Christian faith and life. and that you pray for those who are now your officers that they would be that for you. So this issue of an election of officers is a big deal, because it, by the ordinance of God, by the way God does things, will determine what this congregation will look like and what these members will look like in the long run. It is a fearful thing, both for those voting, those elected, and those serving. The writer of the Hebrews says in 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them. These are people that need to be worthy of obedience by the grace of God, worthy of submission, worthy to be followed, worthy to be imitated. Peter famously in 1 Peter 5 says, don't lord it over people, but prove yourselves examples of the flock. And then he says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. The officers are to be examples, and the people are to follow. If you can't follow someone, don't vote for them. And if you vote for them, you are committing yourself to follow them. And if the congregation elects them and the session ordains them, you are duty-bound to follow them. It is a fearful thing. But these are the ways of God. And so you might say, why do I have to vote? Why can't there be a bishop who just appoints somebody, have somebody else choose them, so I can blame them when I don't like what they do? But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses said, choose from among yourselves with the elders. And in Acts 6, in the same fashion, Peter says, choose from among yourselves. And the three witnesses are a person that wants to serve, a congregation that wants to be served by them, and officers that want to serve with them. By those three witnesses, we know what God wants. And God has said, choose from among yourselves. So we don't have a bishop. The responsibility, the honor, the privilege, the responsibility is yours. So these qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 are not just an issue of credibility. Those who are qualified to serve in office, any office. It isn't just a matter of a qualification where you check off the boxes and say, okay, I can vote for this person. It isn't just a matter of their qualifications. It is a matter of their effectiveness. Not just will they have an effect, they will have an effect. The question is, will it be a good effect or a bad effect? And so it is the qualifications for credibility that someone is eligible to be elected, but it is also an issue of this is the kind of effect that you want them to have, because they will have an effect. You may have heard that the term that's become somewhat popular, spiritual formation. It's another word for discipleship. Discipleship is leading someone in the ways of Christ. You follow Christ, you lead other people following you, following Christ. We're coming back to that frequently. But there's also the idea of spiritual formation, that your leaders form you by their example as well as their teaching. The word is tupos, or type, like a typewriter. And your leaders have a certain form, and they strike you. Not physically, but they have an impression on you. They make an impression on you such that you are formed according to their form. Provide an example is not just something to aspire to, but is something that has a formative effect. And so the character, the virtues of your officers, all your officers, have a formative influence on your life, like it or not. It is inevitable. It is necessary as well as proper. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Christ conforms us to his image. And one way that he does that is that he conforms your leaders to his image, and by means of them, he conforms you to their image, which is being conformed to his image. It's very much like parenting. You are like your parents, like it or not. They have a formative influence on you. It's a very solemn responsibility, and it is inevitable. It is not that, you know, parents strive and children ought to imitate, but it even without pursuing it, there is this inevitable, necessary effect. And it must be recognized, and we must choose carefully. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, I know him, or I've given up everything in order that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. One way that your officers form you spiritually is by giving you an example of how to persevere while suffering under the sins of others. The image of your officers is not simply to show you how to prosper in righteousness, but also to show you how to suffer under the sins of others. And surely you have seen your elders suffer, trying to help people who are in trouble by their own doing. And that example is something that impresses you to do likewise, because you will suffer under the sins of others and must persevere in those things and not grow weary and lose heart. And so similarly, a few verses later, verse 21, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Christ's death impresses us, forms us into conformity with his death. Likewise, his resurrection. Likewise, his glory. His form forms us. His form forms our leaders, and by our leaders, he forms us. It is not simply teaching and preaching. It is teaching and preaching in the context of life. This is true not just of officers, but of every Christian. Every Christian has a responsibility to be an example that has a formative influence on others, and also in that formative influence leads them. There's not only the type picture, but there's also the imitation picture. It's almost like you have a sticky typewriter. And probably few of you have ever used a typewriter. But one of the problems that typewriters used to have is that the type would hit and it would stick there. And it would pull off and sometimes it would pull the paper off. And there's some of that image here. Is that you strike and the image is formed. But then as concurrent with that image is that there is a pulling along with you, and that's the imitation. You have a formative influence on people, and corresponding to that, you pull people with you in following Christ's ways. You can reasonably divide this as you have a formative influence in terms of exemplified virtues, and then you have an imitative example so that you pull people along with you in the way that you walk in Christ's ways. These are the complex of ideas that Paul is, and the scriptures at large, is working with. So the question as you vote is, who do you want to hit you? What letter on the typewriter do you want to be hit with? And then who do you want to be pulled after in walking in ways? What are the spiritual virtues that you discern? What is the manner of life that do you discern? Do you want to be typed by this person? Do you want to be drawn after their manner of life? That is the question. And so you have all these virtues in 1 Timothy 3 that you desire to be typed with. And then in chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness. You're a young elder. But rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And there's an interesting feature in the language that it's an example of what Christians are and an example to Christians of what they should be. And so he's an example of what is and an example for what should become. It goes in both directions. So vote for those you want to form you and you want to follow. And it's not just a matter of discerning objective considerations and making a rational decision. In the Bible, there is always an emotional component to this. God chooses those he loves. He loves, and out of that love, he chooses. And so you need to discern not only a rational judgment about the virtues and manner of life, but there also must be an emotional attraction to the people that you will vote for. An emotional attraction that is spiritual in nature. This isn't a beauty contest, except in spiritual terms. You're not looking for someone who is tall, dark, and handsome. I've only got one of those things. I'm tall. You're looking for someone who manifests these virtues that you want to be typed in, who lives this life that you want to follow. Let's consider how these things are worked out a bit. First of all, you have Peter in 1 Peter 5. It says in verse 1, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as fellow elder, witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker of the glory to be revealed." Almost every time that leadership is referred to, or at least very, very often, it is leadership in how to suffer. Showing people how to persevere while you are suffering under the sins of others. The sufferings of Christ. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. Verse 3, not lording over, but showing yourself to be examples of the flock. That is a critical thing. That in your moral virtues, spiritual disciplines, and manner of life, you are a model of what it is to be a Christian. Not just spewing it out in principle, but laying it out in practice. And as a consequence of this, he says in verse 5, you younger men, younger than the elders, whether in chronological age or spiritual development, likewise be subject to your elders, all of you. And so when you choose an example, you are committing yourself to follow. Your vote is a commitment to follow their example. It's very costly. It's a significant commitment. Timothy, again, 1 Timothy 3, all the virtues that we read in 1 Timothy 4, 12, be an example of and to the believers. These virtues need to be lived out, need to be exemplified. And it's striking that this exhortation, show yourself an example of those who believe, are in the context of the threefold emphasis on teaching in verse 11, 13, and 16. Timothy's work is to teach, but he teaches primarily by example, by example and by precept. The other list of qualifications for office is found in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and the elements are very, very similar. The thing I'd like to bring to your attention, that the same thing happens here in Titus 2, verse 7. In all things show yourself, speaking to Titus, to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, beyond reproach, which is, again, the summary of the qualifying virtues, so that the opponent will not be put to shame. And so he is to be an example of all these qualifications that are necessary. Because this example exercises a formative influence and leads people in these same ways, inevitably. We see the same exemplification as we've recently considered in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2:4, the exhortation is, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And then in verse 21, speaking of Timothy and contrasting, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy is an example of what a Christian should be. Timothy has been formed by Christ in order that by Christ, the people he serves would be formed. And so we both are formed by Christ and we form others. And often there are others in between that Christ is using to form us. So that's true of Timothy. Also, Epaphroditus in chapter 2, verse 8, he humbled himself by being obedient even to death. And in verse 30, Epaphroditus came close to death for the work of Christ. Christ suffered and formed Epaphroditus in the same suffering. Christ suffered under the sins of others, and Epaphroditus was an example of persevering while suffering under the sins of others. And again, that is a predominant, that these virtues are not abstract, but they are in the midst of suffering under the sins of others. And that is an essential part of that example. Paul himself, chapter 2, verse 5, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not hold on to his glory, but changed his clothes, as it were. And we find the same thing in chapter 3, verse 7 of Philippians. Whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted lost for the sake of Christ. Laying aside everything, all your prerogatives and lawful privileges, laying them aside in order to serve, imposing suffering on yourself, imposing loss on yourself so that you would be serviceable to others. And these are not things simply to be taught or spoken of, but these are things to be lived, because the teaching of it and the living of it has a formative influence on other people and will lead them in that same way. Paul is, of course, the one who speaks and exemplifies these things most often. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 17. He speaks to them as my beloved children. And though you had countless tutors, you don't have many fathers. The tutor in the Bible is not someone who sits down with you and helps you with things that you're particularly bad at or things that you're particularly good at to advance you. A tutor is basically someone who beats you so you don't misbehave. So it wasn't a good thing to have a tutor. In our day, it's a great thing to have a tutor. Very helpful. But in this day, they were just basically stormtroopers for kids. Not happy. And so that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being a father. But he's a father in Christ Jesus, in that Christ has begotten him, and by him has begotten the Corinthians and others. Christ has formed Paul, and by means of Paul is forming and leading others. And so he says, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. And for this reason, I have sent Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child. So there you see the series. Christ forms and leads Paul. By Paul, Christ forms and leads Timothy. And by Timothy, Christ, through Paul, forms and leads the Corinthians. So each of us, leaders and members, are being formed and being used by God to form others. So when you consider your officers and who you will vote for officers, you can't be too hard on them, because you have the exact same responsibilities. And he who shows no mercy will receive no mercy. If you are hard on your elders, it will go hard with you. If you criticize others, you will be criticized. So there's an important judgment to make, but it must be made with compassion and humility. Similarly, in chapter 10, and this is another case of an unfortunate chapter division, because chapter 10 really goes through chapter 11, verse 1. You'll see in the editors often make that clear by their bold numbers. 11:2 is a bold number and starts something new. So then, whether you eat or drink, give no offense, as I also please men in all things, not seeking my own profit, suffering, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me in these things, as I also am of Christ. And so when Paul is urging that Timothy be an example, and that people follow his example, or that people follow Paul's example, it is not Paul as Paul. It is Paul in Christ. It is Paul who has been typed with Christ. It is Paul who is being formed by Christ. It is Paul who is being led by Christ. Follow him in Christ. And so you're selecting officers who are being typed by Christ, who are being led in Christ. It's not their own personal virtue. It's the ways and the ways and the degrees to which they are being conformed to Christ. Nevertheless, Paul says, follow me, imitate me. And officers need to be able to say that. We can't say, don't do as I do as I say. And you know you can't do that as parents either. You can't tell your kids to do something that you're not doing, because it sucks out the credibility of it. And you can't tell your kids to do something that you're not doing, because the way kids do things is by doing what they see as well as what they hear. And so Paul says unapologetically, imitate me. I am forming you according to my example, but as I am formed by Christ and as I follow Christ. And so in Philippians 3:17, he says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us, that pattern that forms, that pattern that leads. It's all in the context of Paul's following Christ, but he is bold and unapologetic to say, follow me. Man, who can say that? What husband can say that to his wife? What mother can say that to her children? What elder or deacon or deaconess can say that to their congregation? It is crushing, but it is absolutely necessary. People often ask the question, what's the hardest thing about being a pastor? What's the hardest thing about being a good pastor? The answer is easy. The hardest thing about being a good pastor is being a good Christian. That's the hardest thing. Studying, teaching, preaching, that's fun, it's easy, it's delightful. But dealing with your own flesh, that's what's hard. And manifesting these virtues, being conformed to Christ in the circumstances of suffering for other people's sins, that's hard. That's hard. But that is the most important thing. So I guess I'm doing a good job, because I'm doing a lot of suffering. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. 1 Thessalonians, wonderful passages here. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord. You see that connection? Having received the world in much tribulation and joy of the Holy Spirit, being formed in the crucible and the heat of suffering for other people's sins, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia Achaia. So, imitators of us in the Lord, Paul and Timothy and Silvanus are being formed by Christ. The Thessalonians are being formed by these three men, and the believers in Macedonia and Achaia are being formed by the Thessalonians. And this typing, this impression goes on and on and on. You need to choose people that will form, that God will use to form you, because God is using you to form others as well. And then 2:14, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus in Judea. The churches in Judea are being typed and formed and following Christ. And the churches in Thessalonica are being typed and formed and following the churches in Judea who are being typed and formed and following Christ. It's a constant series. And we're in the middle of it in one place or another. 2 Thessalonians, same thing, verses 7 and 9. You yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Literally, how you ought to imitate us. We did not act in an undisciplined manner. They are to imitate their personal disciplines. Above reproach. We do not have the right, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, a type, so that you would imitate. And this combination of type and imitation, this impression and this following, the two sides of the same coin. You must choose officers who will leave an impression of Christ's virtues and will lead you in Christ's ways. That is what you must have. Lastly, in 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings." There it is again. Virtues persevered in the midst of suffering under the sins of others. That's what you must have. And of course, all of these things are from the ultimate type and example of Christ. We are predestined, Romans 8:29, to be conformed to his image, to be typed with his image, to follow his lead. In 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered," there it is again, "for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Christ is where it all starts. It goes from Christ to Paul to Timothy to your current officer, future officers, to you, to your spouse, to your children, and so forth. And so we have in our membership vow, number 3 at the end, "Do you promise that you will endeavor to forsake all sin and to conform your life to his teaching and example?" That you will be conformed to his example so that you yourself will serve as an example. The point, again, then is, your vote is a means to your spiritual formation and your spiritual discipleship or following. Your officers will necessarily have an effect of forming you in their image in Christ, and they will have an effect of leading you in their ways in Christ. It isn't, you don't skip a step, that your elders form you in the ways of Christ. Your elders and officers all will form you in their ways in Christ. There's no skip in the ways of God. And so you must have officers who will form you and lead you rightly. Some final encouragements. First, whoever you are, elders, husbands, mothers, teachers, coaches, lead by a formative example. There are many athletes who say, "I'm no role model. Don't look to me to be a role model." Well, you know what? You can't decide. You just are. You're out there, and everything you do is observed by other kids, other basketball players, other football players. And what you do, they do. You cannot resign from being a model because by nature you are. And so make up your mind to lead a formative life and to take to heart that who you are and what you do has a formative influence on others around you. And also, choose. You can't choose your parents. You pray for them. But choose your leaders very wisely, because they will have a formative influence on you. That is why in our ordination vow, number 8, do you promise in his strength to live a holy and exemplary life? Not just do you promise to bring to your congregation the fruit of earnest study of the word, or to watch over spiritual growth of the members, or to lead the congregation in the ministry of mercy. It is, do you promise in his strength to live a holy and exemplary life, a life that will form and will lead the people that you serve? And that is the first order of business. But it's also true in our baptismal vows. Vow 3, do you promise to teach your children of the gospel? And then in vow 5, do you promise to lead your children by your example and parental discipline exercised in love? There is the recognition that we lead first and foremost by our example, by our life, by what we say, what we do. And so, don't think that this sermon doesn't have application to you. I'm laboring pretty hard here to persuade you that every single one of us has this responsibility with respect to someone. And also, our officers with respect to ourselves as church members. Secondly, be formed and led by Christ through the officers you choose. God will work to raise up in our congregation the officers he wants us to have. It is his way to lead us by their example and to conform us to himself by conforming us to them. And therefore, despite all of our fallibilities, it is the will of God that you accept the example of your officers and that you self-consciously follow them. Now, it may be, it seems to me that it would be prudent, let me put it that way, for you to consider in this virtue, Elder A best manifests this virtue, I'll follow him in that. Or attribute Z, Deaconess Z exemplifies this best. And so it is certainly true that not every officer manifests every virtue in the same degree. But I think it is reasonable to assume that God has given us in all of our officers all that we need to be formed and to follow Christ. So if you see a weakness in one officer, look at another one. It's there somewhere. You might have to look for it, but it's there somewhere. And let yourself be formed and led by these. It said in Psalm 115, 135 about idols, those who make them will be like them. And idols are empty and vain, and those who worship them are empty and vain. We can apply this, those who vote for them will be like them. And so, as in the movie about the Holy Grail, choose wisely. Sorry if you haven't seen that. It's not my fault. But the point is clear. Choose wisely, because this has great impact for you. Then thirdly, as I've frequently said, form and lead those whom Christ has given to you. Parents, husbands, teachers, coaches. You are inevitably role models. The last thing is a caveat or a qualification. Imitation is not mimicry. You have no obligation to dress like your officers or to get the same haircut that they have, if they have any hair. It isn't aping or mimicry. It is imitation. They're very, very different things. We are not to imitate mannerisms, which can become very annoying Because when you see that kind of mimicry, you think, I know where that's coming from, and it drives me crazy. Don't do that. But do imitate the same spiritual disciplines and moral virtues, albeit in a different manner and style and different choices in free things. So, what do you want to become as you grow up in Christ? What do you want to be when you get older in Christ? Elect people like that as your officers, so that their image in Christ will be impressed upon you and you will walk in their ways in Christ. Be careful whom you marry, because you will look like them in the long run, and be careful whom you elect to serve you in church office, because your spiritual disciplines and moral virtues will look very much like theirs in the long run. And I want to remind you that this is true not just of elders. This is equally true of every office. Elder, teaching and ruling, deacons, deacons and deaconesses. Every single one. There are different gifts that we'll talk about this week, but the virtues, the formative virtues, are the same for every office. Serving as a church officer is a serious and sobering thing, because as such, we will give account not just for ourselves, but also for those who bear our image in Christ and who follow our ways in Christ. And of course, this is also true of parents, husbands, teachers, coaches, and all who have any impact on the lives of others. So, may the Lord have mercy on us all by making our current officers and giving our future officers great conformity to the image of God in Christ, so that we all will be conformed to His image through them. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, surely your ways are not our ways. And for you to choose mere human beings as a tool in your hand to form your disciples, to our flesh doesn't seem like a really good idea, because we are fallible and we are inadequate for such things. But as you spoke your word through the prophets, as you spoke the word of God through the mouths of men, so you also form the people of God through the lives of people. And Lord, we submit ourselves to this ordinance, to this providence, and we pray that you will give us officers whom you will use to form us in your image and to lead us in your ways. Help those who now lead us, and please give us those whom you will use in this way as well. In your name we pray, amen.